Happy to be joined on the fan hotline now. We're going out to Altoona, our good friend from the Altoona Mirror, and also ESPN Radio in Altoona, Corey Geiger, jumping on with us. Corey, nice to hear from you again. Talk to me about your thoughts on what the Pirates did at the trade deadline and just on what's happened since, which isn't a lot, obviously.
Hey, good to hear from you, Tab. I appreciate you having me on. Look, I've covered the minor leagues for 20 years. It would be easy for me to be biased about, hey, don't give away prospects, because I get to see these guys on their way up. But look, I've seen so many prospects get to the big leagues and fail. I do not overvalue prospects. I am not somebody that says, oh, you can't trade away this guy because he might be good in four. I don't do that generally. In this particular case with the Archer deal, I love that the Pirates made a move. I love that they did something bold, bolder than usual. They tried something. The attendance was rough. They needed a good PR move. I like that they did something. I just don't like exactly what they did, giving up what they did for Archer. And again, I'll preface this one more time by saying, I don't look at these prospects and treat them like gold, kind of like the Pirates have always done. But, Tab, I think Tyler Glasnow is better than Chris Archer right now. Now, I'll let that sink in for your listeners, but Tyler Glasnow has a better WAR than Chris Archer. I know that Glasnow really struggled with the Buccos, and it's easy for Pirates fans to say, this guy's nuts. Glasnow sucks. Well, I think Tyler Glasnow still has a chance at 24 years old. You get him all right, he's got a chance to be a number one. I honestly believe that. And I think Chris Archer is at best, a number three. So not only did they give up a guy that I think is going to be better in the long haul in Glasnow, then you give up Austin Meadows, and then you give up the number 12 pick in the draft last year, which you paid $2.5 million for. So I love that they made a move and they tried to do something bold, but I think they whiffed on this. And you know, only time will tell. We'll see what Archer does. We'll see what Glasnow, Meadows, and Boz do. But I just think they, in trying to make a move for PR, they gave away too much here.
I've maintained, Corey, and you know, tell me if I'm wrong, one of the reasons they could afford to make a move like that right now, and something, you know, they've been asking about, teams have been asking about Glasnow and Meadows for the last couple of years, is because of the depth they have at both of those positions in the organization. That was part of it. Not, you know, a part of that is the PR move on the other end that makes them look good, that they're trying to do something. But the bottom line is they've got other arms. They've got other outfielders. You're looking at one in Altoona right now in Brian Reynolds, which is brought in via trade. And you were looking at another one earlier in the season in Jason Martin, who really has kind of hit the skids at AAA lately over his last stretch, but was pretty good at Altoona, got the promotion and started off pretty good at AAA. So the depth in the organization in those two spots were pretty good. And Taylor Hearn was, you know him. He was a 24-year-old pitching in Double-A.
Yeah, Taylor was a little older. But let's remind, I feel like I'm going to be fighting an uphill battle on this with Glasnow, because Pirates fans basically saw Glasnow suck. And so I'm talking to a fan base right now that's probably like, Glasnow is never going to amount to anything. Tyler Glasnow is 24 years old. Tyler Glasnow is probably the best pitcher in the history of minor league baseball. And if your listeners think I'm nuts, go look up the numbers. He held opposing hitters to something like a 180 batting average over 600 innings, yeah. Not 100 innings. I mean, Tyler Glasnow has a chance to be something really special. And I'm not going to absolve him of problems. He was a goofy kid. He wasn't all there, in terms of full maturity. And I think the Pirates really messed him up by not showing confidence in him, by up and down, up and down, up and down, bullpen, 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 we're not going to start you. Tyler Glasnow was so much better than Chad Kuhl and Trevor Williams and Stephen Brault in the minor leagues. And he gets to the big leagues, and here's a 22, 23-year-old kid who struggles a few times, and it's like, we don't believe in you. We're going to send you down. We're going to shelf you.
Yeah.
And like I said, Tab, I know I'm fighting an uphill battle, maybe even with you. because I know Tyler Glasnow really stunk up the joint for a long time. What I'm telling you right now is I think Tyler Glasnow is a better pitcher than Chris Archer. The numbers show it. I think he's going to go over to Tampa Bay and have a really good showing. I'm not actually huge on Austin Meadows. And maybe time, you know, you call me up in 2 years, and if Tyler Glasnow stinks, then I'll eat the crow and say, you know, I was wrong. But he's 24 years old, and the Pirates never, ever showed confidence in him. I think that's how you mess up a young prospect. I think that's how you take the confidence from a kid away. And I think the Pirates, quite frankly, I think the Pirates botched Tyler Glasnow from the beginning.
All right, here's where I'm going to agree with you. I think definitely in the long run he's going to be better than Archer, but you've seen it before. You see it in other sports. I think it was all in Tyler Glasnow's head. How much of a responsibility the Pirates have to get in his head and straighten him out, that's the question. But a lot of it's on him. Maybe the change of scenery will do him good. He admitted to that in the article by that Stephen Nesbitt, which I'm pretty sure I guess you saw. It was a great piece. It was not going to work for him here. How much blame you put on the Pirates, and I put more on him than anything else. Because
did he ever get 15 starts in a row? Did he ever get 15 starts in a row for the Pirates? Did he ever get 7 starts in a row? Did the Pirates ever say, hey, look, we're bad, we're not contending, we're going to give you 2 or 3 months' worth of starts, and if you've got a 6.5 ERA, so be it. We're going to find out. That's where I think the Pirates messed up with him. I think the Pirates have messed up with a lot of young guys like that over the years. I go back to Steve Pierce, who I don't think the Pirates ever gave an opportunity to for a good 2 or 3 month stretch. Even a Jose Bautista. Now, I know I'm throwing up a lot of names in the past here, but to me, with what Tyler Glasnow had done in the minor leagues, Tyler Glasnow deserved a 15, 18-game stretch where we're going to believe in you enough or we're going to start you, okay? And the Pirates never gave him that. So, yes, I think a lot of it was in his head. He got this struggling. And I'll say this for a third time, Tab, because I know Pirates fans really soured on Tyler Glasnow. But let's give this 2 years and let's see where these guys are, because, like I said, I think Tyler Glasnow is going to be better than Chris Archer. He's got a higher WAR than Chris Archer. He's gone over and gotten off to a better start with the Rays than Chris Archer has with the Pirates. So when I value look at the trade, I think, hey, I'm glad they made a move. I'm glad Archer excited the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
But what did the Pirates really get in Chris Archer? I think they got a 4.5 ERA pitcher.
Well, I think you're right there, and I cautioned everybody, you know, after the deal was, if you think this guy is going to come in and be your ace, you're sadly mistaken. I would totally agree with you. I would put him at a low 2, high 3. You know, if he's got his game going, you said 3 at best. But yeah, that's where he is. So if the fan base was thinking he was going to come in and be the ace, they were mistaken. But it's nice to have that depth as part of your rotation moving forward and have control a couple of years out. Having said that, I know we've talked about pitching before. Mitch Keller, same thing as Glasnow, coming up through the system, hit a little bit of a rut hitting AAA. What do you make of that, and what's going on with Keller? Although he's improved with every start at AAA.
The minor leagues are hard. I mean, baseball is hard. Mitch Keller made things look easy a good bit of the time at Altoona, but he even had some speed bumps here. I mean, it's the minor leagues, you just can't judge anybody by 5 or 10 or 15 starts. You got to judge them over hundreds of innings. Thousands of at-bats, and I think there was still some development for Mitch Keller to do. I still think Mitch Keller's ceiling is really, really high, a 1 or a 2. He's very mature, very poised. I'm not surprised to see a little bit of a hiccup at the AAA level, because that's good. I want to see strip players struggle in the minor leagues to a degree. And one more thing on Glasnow, maybe that's one of the things that hurt Tyler Glasnow. He never struggled. He literally never struggled in the minor leagues at all, ever. I mean, he was always the best that there was. And I think sometimes if you don't struggle in the minor leagues, you don't know how to overcome it. You don't know what to do to fix it. It starts to get in your head more when you struggle at the big league level. So, I think the world of Mitch Keller. I think he could be a 1 or a 2. And it is good, like you mentioned. They've got more depth now in a lot of positions. And while I really like Jason Martin, I'm not sure Jason Martin is a starting outfielder in the big leagues. While I like Brian Reynolds, I'm not sure Brian Reynolds is a starting outfielder in the big league. So it's one thing to have depth, but I think they've got a depth of fourth and fifth outfielders, if you will.
I got a couple of minutes with Corey Geiger from the Altoona Mirror and ESPN Radio. Always outspoken. This is always fun. What do you make of Cabrian Hayes then? One of the best defensive third basemen in the minors. Added a little bit of power this year. Is he going to be a starting third baseman for somebody?
Yes. Cabrian Hayes is sensational defensively. He is as good as you'll find in the minor leagues defensively at third. He just put together a 17-game hitting streak. He's been in the 280 to 290 range. Now, he had some speed bumps offensively earlier on, but he figured them out pretty quickly. He'll probably have some offense. He's not going to be his dad. I don't think he's going to hit 40 doubles and 25 home runs unless he goes to Colorado like his dad. But I think I do think Cabrian Hayes is going to be a starting third baseman in the big leagues. In fact, of the players on this Curve team, and you're talking Cole Tucker, Will Craig, Brian Reynolds, previously Jason Martin, I would say, not that there's any sure bet in baseball, I don't believe in that, but the surest of any of those guys, I think, is Cabrian Hayes. Cole Tucker's very good defensively. He's a good athlete. He's not had a great offensive year, and he's going to be competing for a job with Kevin Newman and Kevin Kramer, and I think both of those guys have good upside too. So of any of the guys we've seen here the past couple of years, I would put as much money on Cabrian Hayes being a starter as anybody.
Yeah, anxious to see Kevin Newman. And by the way, Glasnow is pitching in Boston against the Red Sox tonight. Did you know that?
Yeah, my concern for him would be the mental part of if he gets ripped a couple times by the Red Sox and the Yankees, how does he overcome that? Well, hey, look, that's a challenge that every pitcher in the AL East has to face. I'm just happy for Tyler. Tyler's a good kid. I know I probably drove your listeners crazy by defending him as much as I did, but look, I'm not kidding you. He's the best pitcher in the history of minor league baseball. Look at the numbers. There's still a lot there for a 24-year-old.
All right, I got 20 seconds. Give me something on JT Brubaker. You want to talk about depth. He was good at Double A, and he's doing real well at Triple A. There's a guy, I won't say came out of nowhere, but he's a little bit of a surprise.
A nice prospect. I compare him to Brandon Compson, Casey Sadler, Clay Holmes, JT Brubaker. These guys are all in the same mold. I think they're sixth or seventh starters, some long guys. I'm not sure that he's going to be necessarily a rotation guy right yet, but good depth. Again, you can always have you can never have too much depth.
Absolutely. I got to get you back on sometime soon. We could talk about Penn State football and what's going on up there. Corey, great. Thanks so much for jumping on. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, buddy.
You bet you, Tab. Have a good day, pal.
There he goes, Corey Geiger. He's stirred the pot a little bit. Maybe that's something we can talk about. 412-928-9370. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.